Some things that people just never seem to get over, and they never forget. Although her name is linked with her occupation and her past, the Bible speaks marvelously of her redemption. And it all happened because of a deed that was done. Joshua, the deliverer, before the conquest, sent spies into the city of Jericho. And the Bible said, and I don't think it was by chance, God directed those men of all places to the house of a harlot that lived on the wall. Now, I know that sounds funny to us, but the ancient city of Jericho actually had an outer wall and an inner wall. Historians say that the outer wall was 6 feet wide, the inner wall was 12 feet wide, and that between the walls they would place strips of timbers, and on those timbers they built houses. And it was in one of those houses on the wall that Rahab lived. And the Bible said that those men came to her house, and the king of the city sent out a decree that those men should be found and executed. And she hid them in her house. The Bible says that she took them up on the roof. In those days, houses had flat roofs. Don't rain much over there. And they took them up on the roof, and she had some strands of flax, about 3 feet long, and just lots of them drying in the sun. And she hid those men up under that flax, and she covered them. And then she lied to the king's men. Now, God doesn't approve of lying, but God can use a liar, just like he can use a prostitute, just like he can use a donkey. God doesn't have to approve of who you are or what you do to use you. That doesn't save you. That doesn't mean he approves of what you're doing. But he can use you. Amen. Let me tell you something, preachers. Just because God anoints you doesn't mean he approves of you. Say, well, God must really like me, and he approves of what I'm doing because he anoints me. Oh, no, he's using you. Doesn't mean he approves. If you're not living right, God doesn't approve of you. Now, that'll speak volumes. Well, so-and-so must be a man of God. Look how great things happen in his ministry. Not necessarily. God doesn't approve of his sin. God's using him. The day of judgment is going to tell whether he's approved or not. God can anoint you and then destroy you. God can anoint you and then toss you aside like any used tool. Amen. Think about that a little while. Amen. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. God must approve of the way I live. Not necessarily. If you're living in sin, you know it today. Your conscience and the Holy Ghost talk to you about it. And you know it. So just because God uses somebody doesn't mean he approves of them or what they're doing. God did not approve of Abraham or Rahab's occupation, nor did he approve of her lying. That wasn't what saved Rahab. In order to understand what saved Rahab, you've got to go down a little bit further. I want to read to you what she said. Now, this is coming out of Rahab's heart. Chapter 2 and verse number 9 of the book of Joshua. This is what she said to the men. Listen to this. She said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you this land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all of the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Hallelujah. For we heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. And that was what got Rahab's salvation, because she said, I know that your God is God. She didn't know all about it. She didn't understand everything he required. She didn't know she had to quit lying yet. Amen. But she had the essential thing, and that is that he is God alone. And she put her faith not in the deities of the Canaanites and the gods of Jericho, but she said, the God of Israel, he is God. And acting on that faith at the expense, or maybe I should say the danger of her own life, she was willing to hide the spice because she believed in the God of Israel. Hallelujah. Now that's the faith of a harlot. That was the faith in the heart of a woman that was a prostitute. Now let me show you the contrast to an ungodly woman that just had faith in God, to the children of Israel that grew up on miracles. They had miracle manna in their mouth and had a cloud above their head that led them in the day and warmed them in the night, and shoes on their feet that never wore out, and clothes on their back that God provided, and gold in their treasury that came out of Egypt. And they saw God in the morning and God in the evening, and had his tabernacle in their midst, and his name was over them. But listen to what they said. Let me tell you something. Just because you're sitting on a church pew, it won't save you. Just because you know that there's one God, that won't save you. Just because you know Acts 2:38, that won't save you. Oh, they knew everything there was to know about God. They experienced God. God was all around them. But listen to what they said. Numbers 13 and verse number 30. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we're well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, oh, we be not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they'd searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone up to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. That was Israel's testimony. Rahab's testimony was totally different. It said, we have heard. Everybody say, we've heard. They heard about God. Amen. They heard about the Red Sea rolling back. They heard about Pharaoh's armies perishing in the sea. They heard about the battle with the Amorites and how God had utterly consumed the armies of the enemy, and how God had provided for Israel and all the things God was doing for them. And they said, when we heard that, our hearts fainted, because we understood there's no God like your God. Brother Hart, they were saying, like you said this morning, our goose is... Amen. When these Israelites get here, it's all over but the shouting. Amen. And Israel's going to do the shouting. And isn't it amazing? The testimony of a godly people was one of defeat, one of despair, one of giving in, rolling over, dying. Didn't believe God, didn't believe His promise. And at the same time, there was a woman over in Jericho that had lived her life in the most ungodly of acts and things and deeds in the midst of an ungodly people. But as soon as she heard about the God of Israel, she said, I believe in that God. I don't care what you call me. I don't care what you tack on my name. It doesn't matter what you want to remember about my past. But in all of this, you remember that I'm saved. Hallelujah. Because I had faith in the God of Israel. Amen. 1,500 years later, here we are, 3,500 years later, and the stigma is still attached to her name. But her faith is greater than the stigma. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, a good deed can make a lot of difference. Doing the right thing at the right time can change your life forever. It'll not only change your life, but it can change the life of your family. I've heard people say, well, Brother Grissom, you don't understand the kind of house I live in. You don't understand the kind of background I come from. You don't understand what I go through every day. You don't know what goes on in my house. You don't know about my parents. You don't know about my grandparents. You don't know about my situation. I do not, but God does. And He's able to change it. I'm telling you, your house couldn't be much worse than the house of Rahab. That's about as low as you can go, and that's about as bad as it gets. She sold herself to vile men just to keep body and soul together. You can't get much worse than that. But God looked down in the heart of Rahab and said, I see something there. I see some faith in her heart. And He directed His spies to the house of Rahab. You know why? He wanted to bring salvation to the house of Rahab. Amen. If you heard a gospel preacher, let me tell you something. It wasn't happenstance. It was God directing truth your way so that you could hear and be saved. And if you'll act on it, God will make a difference in your life. Amen. In Joshua chapter 2, verse 18 to 21, it said, Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And shall bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out the doors of the house into the street, his blood shall be upon his own head, and we will kill this. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us swear. But she said, according to your word, so be it. And when she sent them away and they departed, she bound the scarlet line in the window. Hallelujah. Amen. They said, now if this scarlet, you let us down here, and if you'll keep your mouth shut, not tell them where we are. She said, I promise you one thing, not just yourself, but if you'll go get your mama and your daddy and your brothers, everybody that you can get in your house. Whenever God gives us this land, whenever this city is destroyed, your family will be saved. Let me tell you something, folks. It's not enough just to be saved. You got to get your brothers. You got to get your sisters. You got to get your mother. You got to get your father. You got to get everybody that you can in the house. Because everybody that's in the house is going to be saved. It's a shame today that there's that sitting room still in this house, isn't it? Amen. Isn't it sad that there's still room, no matter what kind of building we could build here? Amen. As long as there's one person on the outside of the house, we got a job to do. As long as there's one person that's still lost, we got a job to do. Because if we can get them in the house, they can be saved. And there's no safety on the outside. It doesn't matter what kind of house they live in. It doesn't matter how much money's in the bank. It doesn't matter what kind of car they drive. It doesn't matter what social register their name is on. It doesn't matter how many country clubs they belong to. If they're outside the house, they're going to be lost. Amen. We got to get them in the house, folks. We got to get them in the house. The only house that's going to be saved is where that scarlet thread is hanging, blowing in the breeze. People saw the scarlet thread. They said, wonder what in the world's going on at Rahab's house. Why in the world she got that scarlet thread hanging out there? Amen. Rahab, what's that all about? Oh, if you only knew. Amen. This house is going to be saved right here. Amen. Some people, I've heard of churches some years ago. There were some liberal churches, and out of all their songbooks, they took out every song about the blood. They said, we don't want to sing about the blood. That's too gory. We don't want to sing about that. We won't preach about that. Hey, I'm telling you today, we have access by the blood. We're saved by the blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. We got to have the blood. Preach about it. Sing about it. Shout about it. Amen. We got to understand that we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Nothing else. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God for the blood. There's power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. Nothing, nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm telling you today, friend. Amen. We gotta believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. The only thing that makes a sinner clean is the blood of Jesus. The only thing that can wash away our sin is the blood of Jesus. The only thing that can save us is the blood of Jesus. And when Israel came against the city of Jericho, and he said, the first day you march around one time. And they, what a way to fight a war. Amen. First day they marched around the walls. Amen. Priests blew their trumpets, marched around the walls. Second day they did the same. Third day they did the same. Fourth day, fifth day they did the same. Sixth day they did the same. Oh, there's something that different about the seventh day. God said, now today, when you march, he said, you don't just march one time, you march seven times. And he said, on that seventh time, he said, I want you to get everything you can get. If you got some pots and pans to bring together, you bring them and bang them. Yeah. Amen. If you got a tambourine, you play it. If you've got a horn, you play it. Amen. If you got a stringed instrument, you play it. If you can't do anything but clap your hands, stomp your feet, and shout, you do it. Amen. Oh, and they watch them march around. March around, march around, march around, march around. And on that seventh time, and there was a blood curdling scream that went up. Israel began to shout. Amen. And the 6-foot wall started. It was as if the earth opened up and it just went down like an escalator. The 12-foot wall on the inside went down like an escalator. Everything went all the way down to the bottom until they could run straight in on drawn funds, just on a level ground. Amen. Everything went down but one house. I said, everything went down but one house. And when the dust cleared, and when it was all over, there was one house that was standing, and it was the house of Rahab, and everybody that was in that house was saved. Amen. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me read you one more verse. Matthew 1:5 and Solomon. Let me read something else here before I get to that. Amen. Joshua chapter 6 records the battle of Jericho, how the wall fell down flat. Chapter 6 verse 23 said, the young men that were spies went in and brought Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren, all that she had, and they brought out all of her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. Everybody say, without the camp. Outside. Outside. Saved, but outside. God have mercy. Help us. Anybody saved don't belong outside. I said anybody that God has the grace to save doesn't belong outside. It doesn't matter what they used to be. It doesn't matter what their occupation was. It doesn't matter whether you like it or not. God saved them and they don't belong outside. God help the church if we ever get in the business of leaving saved people outside. Scoot over. Make room. Oh, I heard they sing well. They might take my place. Move over. Make room. Well, I heard they might play the piano better than I do. They play the guitar better than I do. Move over. Make room. I heard they preach better than the pastor. Tough luck. Amen. As long as God says stay here, I'm here. When he says move on, my bags are packed and I'm gone. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Just make room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Now, I got to finish that. Now, don't stop there. Go a little bit further. That's not where it stops. And then the 25th verse says Joshua saved. By the way, Joshua in the Old Testament is the same name as Jesus in the New Testament. Woo! Hallelujah. So Joshua, Jesus, saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household, all that she had. Listen, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day. She started on the outside, but she persevered. She had patience. She endured until she said, well, I'm not going anywhere. I might be tagging along behind, but hey, you're not getting rid of me. The God of Israel saved me. You may not accept me. You may not like me. You may not like what I was. You may not like what I am, but I'm not going anywhere. You're not getting rid of me. Let me tell you something. You got to make up your mind today that you're in this thing, that Pastor Grissom didn't put you in it, that your brothers or your sister didn't put you in it. God put you in this church. You're in this church by the blood, and you got to make up your mind. If somebody hurts my feelings, I ain't going to quit. Somebody says something I don't like, I'm not going to quit. You're going to have to deal with me, brother, because God put me in the church. Ahab said, hey, I might have been on the outside, but I'm close enough. She didn't stay on the outside. God gave her favor with a man called Salmon. Something fishy about that guy. Well, you'll think on it. You'll get a little bit. Gave a favor with a fellow by the name of Salmon. And he said, you know what, Rahab? I don't care about your past. If you're good enough for God, you're good enough for me. And Salmon made Rahab the harlot his wife.
Amen.
And he took her in, made her his wife. And they got together and they had a little boy. And his name was Boaz. Boaz found a Moabitess woman. She was an outsider. And he said, I'll take her in, just like my daddy took in Rahab. I'm going to take in Ruth. And he made Ruth his wife. And they had a little boy. And his name was Obed. And Obed had a little boy. And his name was Jesse. And Jesse had a little boy. And his name was David. And he became the king of Israel. Hallelujah. And his great, great, great grandma was a harlot named Rahab. Somebody said, David, what's your pedigree? I can trace my pedigree all the way back to Abraham. He said, I can trace mine all the way back to Rahab. But that's not all. When Jesus listed his credentials and he listed his lineage, he said, I want you to know who's in my lineage. There's a woman back there by the name of Ruth that was a Moabitess. And there's a woman back there by the name of Rahab, and she was a harlot. And when God starts listing his church, who's in your church, Jesus? Well, let's see, the president of the bank's in my church. I got some lawyers in my church. I got some doctors in my church, but that's not where it stops. I got some harlots in my church. I got some alcoholics in my church. I got some drug addicts in my church. I got some liars. I got some thieves in my church. You name it. If you've done it, they're in my church. Amen. It's not what you wear that matters. It's the blood. Let's stand together. Thank you. Thank God for the blood today. Oh, the blood of Jesus that washes white as snow. Amen. All that Rahab did was act on faith. She just acted on what she heard. And because she acted in faith on what she heard, she saved herself. She saved her house. And she changed her lineage forever. Somebody here today, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you were. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something that will change your life today. The Bible said that if you will repent, God will forgive you for every sin that you have ever committed. Now let me tell you what repentance is. Repentance is telling God you're sorry, but it's also telling God I'm not going to sin anymore. I'm through with it. I've had my last dope. I've had my last alcohol. I've had my last illicit pleasure. I've, whatever it is, you tell God I'm through with it. I don't want to do that anymore. That's it. I want a new life. I want to start over. That's repentance. He said if you'd be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, he said I will blot out your sins forever. You'll never be remembered against you again. And then he said I'll fill you with the gift of the Holy Spirit. You'll speak with new tongues. Amen. You'll become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, if you'll act on that, you can be like Rahab. You can not only change your life, you can change the life of your entire family and generations to come. Amen. Anybody got that kind of faith today? Anybody want to make that kind of change in your life today? Amen. Here's an altar right here. Amen. Here's a place that you can come. Amen. Praise God. This is your scarlet thread right here. Hallelujah. Amen. Right here it is. Amen. If I needed that kind of change in my life, and thank God I've done that. I went to the altar, friend, when I was 15 years old. God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I've been living for him the last 43 years, and it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. I'm not telling you something I heard about. I tell you something that I live every day. And I'm promising you, it's better than I can tell you. You've heard people tell you things and it wasn't as good as they said it was. I haven't told you the half. It's better than I could ever say. Amen. Who could resist a promise like that? Amen. Try it. If you don't like it, the devil will always take you back. But here's an altar. Somebody needs to be here. Somebody needs to be praying. Somebody needs to be calling on the Lord. Somebody needs to be giving thanks to God. Somebody needs to be pouring their heart out to the Lord today. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Saints, I'm going to come and give thanks. Why don't you come with them? Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on, church. Let's give God thanks.